This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play.
We had to weather that first 6 minutes. Just short turnaround for us. Kind of a tough trip. It's a sneaky back-to-back. Just long airport rides, and they pushed, and Moose was there for us. And you need your goalie to make those saves until we get our legs, and then big goal by Mac. We kind of get those two back-to-back, and probably for them it was, teams not getting results they want, and they show a good push, and then we're up 2-0, and so that was probably a little bit of a turning point, but big part because of our goalie.
Oh yeah, big part of the goaltender was making the right saves at the right time this weekend. I thought a contrast in games won by the Lightning. We're going to get into that here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. The Lightning feeling good about themselves in Montreal as we speak. I am Greg Linelli along with Dave Mishkin, who is in Montreal. Steve Ersnick is producing 1 hour of hockey talk for you. Partner, how we feeling? To get into Montreal okay? Got your coffee?
Yeah, got my coffee. You know, I wonder when we have two games to recap between shows, I wonder if we need to give the fans a little bit more. Do you think 60 minutes is enough to do justice?
Probably.
To looking back,
look, I think
more than two full games, because the Saturday game went in overtime.
Yeah,
more than 120 minutes.
We could throw it out there. Do the people want 2 hours of Power Lunch? How about just on a regular basis, Dave?
That would be great for their ears, not so great on their stomach, and maybe not so great if they are taking a 2 hour lunch at work. But
by the way, speaking of crises right now, we're dealing with COVID, and to me that's not the biggest crisis in the world, Dave. I cannot find any half and half at the grocery stores for my coffee.
That does not sound right.
Yeah.
Based on personal experience, do you have a specific creamer that you get that's like,
I mean, it's Wisconsin
cream or something.
Let's put it this
like
way.
That.
I can't find any brands in my grocery store. And I've gone to multiple grocery stores. Hmm. I've gone to gas stations, on the off chance maybe they have it. And
well,
I can only share
my experience because I am not a black coffee drinker. I can drink like tea. Not that I drink a lot of tea, but tea, I don't put anything in. Coffee, I cannot drink black. So I need half and half. Mm-hmm. We have had no such problems in the Mishkin household. I'll have to
come over to your house.
My better half. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not responsible for. I am sometimes responsible for transporting the goods.
That's a good
point.
I
am very rarely responsible for selecting the goods and ordering the goods. But yeah. I was just in a. I don't want to mention names because I don't want to.
Yeah, I didn't want to call anybody out.
But I have been recently to a supermarket, and there was no problem with the half and
good.
Half. Maybe you need to come out to Brandon.
I may. Although with gas as high as it is, I don't know if I want to travel that far.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see how that
but
all
I will tell
plays
you,
out.
And again, without mentioning specific names, there is a certain coffee shop that is well known, let's just say in the U.S. and Canada, that has kind of been my go-to in Montreal because it's fairly close to the hotel. I'm all about convenience, right?
Yes, you are.
I know what I can get there. I have a way to pay on my phone, which is nice. Not that that's a be-all, end-all, but means you don't have to pull out the credit card or cash or anything like that. So I went there this morning, and it's closed. And I have found this, now that I'm back on the road, certain locations, whether it's a coffee shop or a restaurant, places that were fixtures for years, I'm talking about, like 10, 15 years, I've been going to these different places. Obviously, I've been pleased with what I've gotten there that I keep going back. And it's almost like a year and a half later, I'm back. And some of these places haven't made it. Now, this one is curious because there are like four of the same chain within, probably a 7-8 block radius. So I'm curious, like, why did this one close down?
I'm curious.
We were in Minnesota, Greg. Yeah. There was a really good Italian restaurant right across the street from where we stay in St. Paul. We even walked in, and Brian Engblom, Dave Randorf, and I were standing there, and Brian said, "That's a great Italian restaurant across the street." Well, wait a minute. Is it even open anymore? And it had shut down. It was just an empty building.
That's a
shame.
Which
is sad.
Yeah, it's a shame. And, you know, it's part of, I think, what's happened the last couple of years for sure with lockdowns. I'll be interested to see your experience when you come back, what the trip to Canada was like, just outside of hockey, you know.
Well, this is our second time up here. It is our first time in Montreal.
Yeah.
Which is why I just discovered that I need to go somewhere else for my coffee tomorrow morning. But anyway.
Sure. Well, we'll get into that
I hope you're half and half.
Yeah.
Quest is
look,
is
if anybody wants to send
successful.
Me some, I'll give you my address off the air and you can send it to me and that'll be an
You may have
Christmas
to go
present.
With either regular milk or Asp Black.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I can.
I know.
I don't know if I can handle it, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll figure that out. So before we begin, because it's going to kind of tie in a little bit to the Lightning and their weekend, Elliot Friedman and a couple other reporters are reporting it. They did earlier today, but when I think Elliot kind of puts his mark on it, it probably happens and or it happened already. Alain Vigneault's out, looks like, as the head coach of the Flyers. Mm-hmm. We actually had talked about this, Dave, I think on the post game yesterday, that was one of those games where you could see an organization make a change.
Yeah.
After the way the Flyers were performing. And remember, this comes off the heels of an offseason, which I think there was a lot of soul searching with the Flyers. The players felt like they took too much responsibility for what happened last year. They felt like the coaching staff didn't meet them halfway, and maybe that there were some changes. And maybe at some point there was an understanding of what needed to be done from both sides. I found it interesting that they made the move the way they did, but it's not a surprise when you factor in. I think their season is basically lost this early in the season, and I think that's a tough pill to swallow, particularly, Dave, in a market like Philadelphia's. And, you know, we saw Vancouver kind of blow things up as well last night. So actually some pretty big changes happening before game 30 in the NHL when it comes to a couple of organizations who are no doubt underachieving.
So, to me, this is less about the Flyers' struggles offensively, although they have struggled offensively. I mean, the power play goal that they scored last night was just their fifth power play goal since the opening four games of the year. They got off to a really good start record-wise, offense-wise, power play-wise. They had four power play goals in their first four games, and up until last night, they had only scored four power play goals total since, now five. So it's very easy to kind of point at their offensive struggles and say this is why they are losing games, and they are losing games. They're 0-6-2 now in their last eight. But I think with the Flyers, it circles back to defense, because the big difference between Vigneault's first year when he was a Jack Adams finalist and the Flyers finished high enough that they got into the round robin in the bubble and then were the number one seed in the round robin. Between that year and last year was how they defended. Now, some of it was goaltending, and we've talked about that. But I think when we talk about goaltending with the Flyers last year, really it's more Carter Hart than Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott actually had a pretty good year last year relative to the team's record. I think it was Hart. Hart was coming off a really good year the year before where he did most of the heavy lifting. He was their guy in the playoffs. And he did not have a good year last year. But it wasn't only him. And I think some of the moves the Flyers made in the offseason, like they tried to change the makeup of the team. They added sandpaper when you're talking about Ristolainen. Atkinson is a get-your-nose-dirty kind of player. Ryan Ellis as well. And they've had some bad luck with injuries. I mean, Ellis has been out most of the year. Hayes has been out most of the year, although he's healthy now. They recently lost Brassard, and now Farabee is hurt. It always seems to happen that way, doesn't it? When the team starts struggling, it coincides with some injury problems. But what has happened during this eight-game skid, their team defense has completely unraveled. When the Lightning saw the Flyers the first time, they played three games in, about a three-week span. The Flyers came into that game tied for fourth in the league in team defense, meaning that there were only three teams in the NHL that were allowing fewer goals per game on average. And the bottom has dropped out. And you could see it. I said this on the air last night, Greg. The difference between how the Flyers defended in the first meeting and how they defended in last night's game was like night and day. Now, the Lightning controlled the first two periods in that first meeting, the one that went to the shootout. but they were not able to get as many scoring chances as you might expect based on their possession advantage. Then in the third period, the Flyers pushed. If you remember, Flyers had a big shot advantage in the third period. The game went to the shootout, and the Lightning won in the shootout. So it's not that the Flyers played a perfect defensive game in terms of like their puck management. They didn't have the puck a lot in the first two periods in that first meeting back in third week in November, whatever it was. But the Lightning weren't as easily able to get open looks in that first meeting as they were last night. And that means that, because that is what Vigneault was preaching. Vigneault was saying from the get-go this year, we need to defend better. We need to be more structured. And I think what management realized, not realized, but what probably was the straw that made them pull the trigger on a change was that Vigneault's message is not getting through now. Maybe it was at the start of the year, but whether it was confidence, whether it was lack of belief in what they needed to do, that team is a defensive mess right now. And they need to kind of get the ship back on course before it's too late. So what was curious was they hadn't played since Wednesday. So you might say, well, if we're going to make a change, maybe now is the time. Although their loss on Wednesday to the Rangers wasn't as lopsided as the one to the Lightning last night. But they're playing a back-to-back. They play tonight. So they're making this coaching change in between a back-to-back. But I agree with you. When you look at 7-1, not a good defensive performance, it's trending in the wrong direction, that's usually the time that you figure, okay, let's get a different voice behind the bench here and try and salvage what we can here.
Yeah, and we're going to dive into that a little bit more. Bruce Boudreau looks like he's the new guy in charge of Vancouver, so he becomes mm-hmm. their 20th coach in franchise history. Mike Yeo looks like he's going to take over the duties in Philadelphia. Michelle Therrien, or Michael Therrien, wherever you are.
He was both.
In
yeah.
country, he's both.
He's been both.
He's out, and Mike Yeo is in. So we'll see how that plays out, but I just thought it was interesting after what happened this weekend. And I think it shows you, Dave, when they quickly made that move, there's no good time to do it.
Right.
They just felt
it's interesting. You have talked about like the Thanksgiving deadline, if you will, like by American Thanksgiving, you kind of know where your team is at. And it's probably not a coincidence completely that we're just past that point and GMs essentially, although in the case of Vancouver, the GM was fired too, but management, let's say, is saying, all right, our team, the dust is settled here. Our team is not where we need it to be. Let's make a change.
No doubt. So those are some things, big picture items that have happened across the league, and we figured we'd throw that your way.
I like Vigneault, by the way. I do think he is a good coach. He's had a lot of success in a number of different places. So I hope he gets another opportunity.
Yeah, he probably
will. If he wants
it. Yeah, he probably will. I mean, he may have to go
personable
away for a little
guy, bit. You know, really friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And has been pretty successful for sure. So is Boudreau. So we'll see how that plays out too. I want to get in big picture like we typically do on the weekends, Dave, and then we can kind of dissect a little bit what happened mm-hmm. in the Bruins game and the Flyers game for me. What you take away initially is the fact that they're able to pick up 4 points against, you know, a couple of teams who, you know, you can say are struggling. For sure, Boston, for different reasons than Philadelphia. But you pick up 4 points against Eastern Conference foes, particularly the one on Saturday was intriguing because I thought it was a little bit of a different way the Lightning can beat you. And while you brought up a good point last night of the post game, and we're going to get into it, you know, Tampa Bay's puck management hasn't necessarily been great, especially these last couple of games. There's no argument there. The fact that the Lightning were able to win one way on Saturday and another way on Sunday, I think speaks to maybe how deep and how talented this team is. And while that may seem like an obvious comment, the deep part, I think, is one thing we're starting to realize that if these young guys continue to play well, and Perry and Maroon and Belmar and Bogosian from the back end, and these guys who were brought in to replace some of the players that left continue to play this way, Brian Elliott as well. This is turning out to be a pretty deep team that has a lot of options when players come back or when players struggle and you want to shuffle guys in and out of the lineup. But to me, Saturday was a goaltending win. Sunday was a bit different. And sometimes you need your goaltender to steal games. Certainly we have seen that with Fassie over the years, even in the playoffs, when your team's not playing particularly well. Like the Lightning's game on Saturday, I think John Cooper's comments were, you know, 54 minutes, we weren't very good. I liked the end, maybe a little bit, of that Boston game, but for the most part, didn't like our game, and Vasi stood on his head and played a fantastic game, which he did. You get contributions from a lot of people up and down that lineup, particularly the depth players on Sunday, Dave. The rookies are starting to score, and while Brian Elliott was very good, especially early on, I think we all realized Philadelphia had a nice push there for the first 10 minutes. Chief actually thought maybe the first 30 minutes they applied some decent pressure. However you want to go about evaluating Philadelphia's performance, nonetheless, I thought Elliott was really good. And the Lightning got a lot of contributions from role players, which is nice to see. So Saturday might have been a little bit of an outlier based off of what we've seen this year. Vasi, I think, steals the game on Saturday. Sunday, I thought that was a little bit more of a complete effort. I thought Victor Hedman, the last two games, made some huge plays that all-world defensemen typically make, whether it's goals, whether it's a couple of really good assists in the Flyers game. And the Lightning munch another 4 points, Dave, and then you just kind of look at the standings, and they're kind of just moving along and picking up points and finding out that some of these younger players are giving them some really nice depth, and I think that's been one of the pleasant surprises, maybe if not the biggest surprise so far this year in the Lightning season.
Well, nice job, Greg, because you did hit on a lot of different topics.
I went haywire there, but you
no,
bring,
no,
you bring it back.
No. I think it's great because you introduced the points, how they played, the young players, again the Belmar line, and I think that we can look at all of that. So, it is unrealistic to expect that the Lightning are going to play perfect hockey for 82 regular season games, and they haven't already. I mean, their opening night game against Pittsburgh, I think to this point, is still their worst game of the year. The key is to try and limit those. Every team is going to have them. And I think we had mentioned this when the Lightning started this stretch of 8 games in which 7 are on the road. But that means that you're playing, because the 7 road opponents are all different, the Lightning are playing 8 games in 8 different cities. So it was almost like that one home game against the Blues was a little bit like a road game. That you came home for about, what, a little over 48 hours, and then you left again. So I think some of this may be tied to the fact that the games are coming one right after the other here with travel. Every team has to go through it, and when you have a schedule stretch like this, you do what you can to get points, and you don't apologize for it. So they have not been as good, let's say, in the last 2 games, and I'll include the Flyers game, as they were, say, against Seattle at home, where they completely suffocated the Kraken, held them to 17 shots. Like, that was an extremely well-played game by the Lightning, where their standard was exceptionally high. But you're not going to hit that standard every night. So when it doesn't reach that standard, first of all, you say, we want to get better. But second of all, you have to look at like the circumstances around it, and are you willing to give the team, cut the team a little bit of slack? And I am willing to do that. I mean, based on the fact that they did pick up points, and this is a grind of a stretch. So what happened on Saturday? What happened on Sunday? I think in both games, the Lightning's puck management was not as good as we have seen it at other points during this, we'll call it their hot stretch, which started with a win in Pittsburgh. Remember, they lost to Buffalo 5-1. They went to Pittsburgh the next night. They beat the Penguins, and they've been quite good ever since. I mean, what have they lost at this point? 1 game in regulation? 2 games in regulation? 2 games in regulation since then. So they have managed the puck better than they did, certainly against the Bruins, but I would even say against the Flyers, in that they had some trouble clearing the zone. But we have talked about this on our show, Greg. Just because you are struggling to maintain possession doesn't mean that you can just let the other team generate chance after chance after chance. And they did a better job in the Philly game than in the Boston game. But I do think in both games, they didn't just let the other team run all over them, even though the other team had a possession advantage. And the possession advantage was more lopsided in the Boston game than it was in the Flyers game. And also in the Flyers game, the Lightning at the halfway point had a 5-0 lead. So that did change things. The Boston game, they had a 2-0 lead, but it had a closer feel to it. But I think even in the Boston game, as much possession as the Bruins had, and they had a ton up until the end of the third period, like you mentioned, the last 4 to 5 minutes of regulation, the Lightning started to string together some good offensive zone shifts. They had chances, for sure. But the Lightning did hang in there defensively so that it wasn't as though Vasilevsky was dealing with 25 scoring chances. Remember Franjean, when he joined us, said, you're going to have games where your goalie, my guy, is going to face 25 scoring chances. We have to be ready for that. I'm not sure that Boston game was quite at that level, if that's the right word. But it was not great. I mean, Vasilevsky had to deal with a lot of pressure, had to deal with a lot of scoring chances against. The Bruins hit three posts. Like, they came close to scoring more than two. And Vasilevsky was brilliant. I mean, I'm not saying that he wasn't terrific in the game, but the thing to keep in mind is that just because you're struggling with the puck doesn't mean you have to struggle without the puck. Now, you don't want to struggle with the puck, and that's the area of the Lightning's game that I think has slipped a little bit over the course of these two games we saw this weekend. But that is going to, like, that's, I'm circling back to the original point, that is going to happen. There is another team out there that's trying to force you into making mistakes. And I think in the Saturday game, in contrast to what the Lightning were doing, the Bruins were really, really good with the puck. So the Lightning were fumbling pucks and the Bruins weren't, which led to this narrative of why the Bruins were, like, constantly applying pressure. Like, it was press, 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 press. It was like the Lightning were just trying to come up for air to get tired guys off the ice. But whether they were tired or not, the beginning of a shift, less tired, like, they battled, they hung in there, and they may have given up more chances than what would be ideal, but when you had a game like that, Vasilevsky was really good to keep the Bruins to just two goals. So I'm not willing to say at this point the Lightning's game has started becoming loose, because some of it, I think, is schedule-related, travel-related, frequency of game-related. So let's keep our finger on the pulse here and see where it goes as they continue this road trip into Canada, and they have a full day off today. So let's see if they can regroup and clean up some of the parts of the game that were leaky a little bit over the weekend. And again, they were better on Sunday than they were on Saturday. But, you know, when people are like, what do you mean? What do you mean? They won 7-1. Well, you know what? Shots were 39-27. Flyers. The Flyers out-attempted the Lightning 69-45. And those stats don't just appear in a vacuum. You know, when I talk about this stat doesn't really tell the story of the game, well, why doesn't it? I think in this instance, those stats tell you the Flyers had a lot of possession. Lightning did well to limit chances, particularly after the early minutes. But why do the Flyers have so much possession? Because the Lightning didn't have really a lot of sustained offensive zone shifts. And in the ideal perfect game, that's what you want. Now, what they were able to do when they had the puck against the Flyers were so poor defensively, the Lightning were able to find space, and part of that's on the Lightning. They made plays. They made plays through the weekend. Taylor Radish made a play on the shorthanded goal. Steven Stamkos made a play on the overtime goal, as did Sergachev catching Pastrnak. In the game last night, Matthew Joseph makes a terrific pass to McDonough on the first goal. McDonough's coming up late, and Joseph is stopped in the neutral zone, so the Lightning only have two forwards accelerating, but when McDonough jumps in the play, it becomes a 3-on-2. perfect pass to McDonough. And now the Flyers are scrambling. That's an odd man rush. Think about the Radish goal, the one on Sunday. Like, Victor Hedman jumped in the play there. And when he jumped in the play, now the Flyers are not positionally set because their extra Lightning players coming in the zone. And Victor makes, similar to Joseph, the right play, and it was well executed, perfectly executed. Puts it right on Radish's stick, and Radish has room down the wing to get a shot off, and it's a perfect shot. That's making a play. That's actually making several plays. Hedman reads the play, jumps on the puck in the neutral zone, perfect pass to Radish, incredible finish by Radish. So the Lightning did a lot of good things offensively in the Philadelphia game that helped them score all those goals. So that is a really positive sign, but they didn't have as much space against the Bruins because the Bruins defended better. So some of that was part of the narrative too. And I know I've talked for a while here, and we can get into Radish and Tkachuk and the Belmar line having another strong game, but that's kind of my general takeaway that the Lightning are not quite at the standard they were at, say, earlier in this stretch, but they got 4 points, and this is going to happen. We would be surprised if it didn't happen. They need to have, over the course of a season, it can be healthy in a way, some games where you have some tough sledding and you're like, how do we get out of this? How do we get that level back up? So we'll see if they can do that tomorrow against the Canadiens.
All those points are valid, and they make a lot of sense, too. I think the one, as you were describing everything, the thing that popped in my head is the ability for the Lightning to strike at any point. You know, they may not be possessing the puck as much as we like, because I think oftentimes we talk about, at least I do, that, you know, I think when the Lightning are defending well, and we have seen them defend really well, particularly in the playoffs, where they just hunker down. We've talked about Ryan McDonough's game and Chernak's game, standing guys up at the blue line. The gaps between the defensemen are tighter, and there's not a lot of room to operate. But at times it can get loose. I mean, I think that happens. But it's the ability for the Lightning to possess the puck that oftentimes, for me, is their greatest defense. And sometimes it doesn't happen. To your point, Dave, the other team has a say in that. And Boston certainly did on Saturday, more so than the Flyers, although the Flyers at times did that as well. But it's the ability to quick strike your opponent. And you had mentioned a couple of those plays on Saturday. I mean, first off, congrats to Taylor Radish. That was that was just a great individual play. I mean, sometimes, again, Dave, how many times... You know, we say this in other sports, in addition to hockey, sometimes a guy just beats you. You know, it's whether it's basketball, whether it's a pitcher, whether it's a hitter, or whether it's a quarterback making a throw, or a wide receiver coming down one-on-one on a contested ball, sometimes the other guy just beats you. I mean, that's kind of what sports is. Can you beat the guy across the pond, across the field, across the diamond? It's a one-on-one battle oftentimes. Taylor Radish won that. Steven Stamkos with an unbelievable shot, continuing to make his case that he's healthy and this is not a fluke, which is tremendous to see. By the way, and I'm glad you mentioned it, nice job by Sergachev. I mean, you want to talk about somebody busting it to at least distract Pastrnak. We can debate whether that was a penalty or not. He obviously felt it was, meaning Pastrnak.
It might have been. You know, I looked at that play several times, and I never really saw a good replay to see where Sergachev's stick ended up, because he does reach around Pastrnak with his stick. So
let's put it this way. We've seen enough of those calls where it is called.
Yeah.
Enough of those plays where it is called, particularly on a player like that. But nonetheless, Sergachev, I mean, just busted it. I mean, that's hustle. That's things that usually don't show up on the stat sheet, but then he made the great pass to Stamkos. And what more can you say about him, Dave? He's been absolutely fantastic. And then, you know, the Philadelphia game, look at some of the quick strikes. First off, give credit to Ryan McDonough on that first goal where he gets the pass to Stamkos. Stamkos correctly shoots it. But McDonough's ability, Dave, not to do a flyby and go past the puck. He stopped. And that allowed him to get the rebound. It's a smart play by a veteran guy.
It wasn't like knee level or waist level, but I mean, he did bat that out of the air. It was not yet on the ice.
Yeah,
he
for
made
sure.
Solid contact.
I mean, that's
too on his backhand.
He's got sneaky good skills, as we've said before. Since he's come over to the Lightning, his role it's been different, but he does have some offensive instincts, and I think it was on display for that first goal. And then Radish, I mean, that's a play. That's a shot we've been waiting to see. Kachuk was more of just going to the net, crashing it. The Lightning, certainly, as you mentioned, Victor Hedman had a big, big opportunity there. Both goals, Radish and Kachuk, where he's reading the play. He's jumping in. He's throwing the puck on net. And that's what you want your defenseman to do. Matthew Joseph, and looked innocent. One, it's hustle. But two, it's forcing Carter Hart to make a play. He didn't. Joseph throws it on net. Dave, that's never a bad play.
Mm-hmm.
And Hart didn't handle that very well. And then the other thing that's really sticking out for me, within the confines of what they're asking him to do, has there been, at least over the last month, a more consistent player than Pat Maroon and Corey Perry?
Yeah.
I mean, Pat Maroon's got 5 goals on the year. And Dave, again, it does feel, and I don't want to recap why it's happening because I think we've discussed it. I think he came into camp in better shape. He's addressed that. I think playing with Corey Perry has done wonders for him along with Belmar. You know, he mentioned to you jokingly, I think it was in the preception, that, hey, Mish, this is a contract year.
Yeah,
hey?
He did
you
say
know?
That.
And that, look, that's a motivating factor. But it feels like once a game, at least, Pat Maroon has the puck on his stick and he's just making a play. And Corey Perry, don't look now, he's got 5 goals, Dave. So we asked the question on Twitter. And again, understanding it is still early in the season and the younger players are still developing. So I acknowledge that. But for the sake of our show and for the sake of some fun hockey talk, the way this team is clicking, and we didn't even get into Eric Chernak being out, and certainly that affects what you do defensively because he is a unique talent. Right now, is this team, in your opinion, just as deep as the previous 2 years where they won cups? And again, we made such a big deal, and rightfully so, how are they going to replace this line, and who are they going to replace this guy with? Well, if Radish and Kachuk continue to play this way, Dave, Maroon and Perry and Belmar continue to play the way they're going about their business, and you're getting Point and Kucherov back, and let's not forget Fortier, who's looked good. He's looked good. And you got Barry Boulay, who was a scratch, but I mean, all of a sudden,
yeah,
Dave,
didn't we have
is
that fan question about when Joseph comes back?
Yeah, I mean,
guess that fan had an inkling about what
it's
might
a good
happen.
Question. And look, it's one that John Cooper's going to have to, again, assuming everybody's healthy, and that's always a big if, he's probably going to have to sit a couple of really good players, and he'll have to find ways to work them into the lineup. But Dave, my point is, what was maybe thought as a perceived weakness, more so because of the unknown with what you had with some of the younger guys, and that is an accurate feeling to have. At least through 22, 23 games, the depth, I think, has allowed the Lightning to plug along with 2 elite players out of the lineup for a significant amount of time. And I didn't even mention Brian Elliott, Dave, who I think has gotten better with each start, or at least after the first maybe couple. I think his play has been very, very solid. So it feels like it's coming together. I'm not saying they're a perfect team by any stretch, but the depth they are starting to accumulate here has been very impressive, and I think it's been maybe the biggest reason why, you know, they're sitting here today on a Monday with 34 points through 24 games, and they're only 3 points out of first place. And, you know, Florida and Toronto have had major win streaks.
Yeah.
You know, to their credit, and the Lightning have had some decent ones, but not on the runs those teams have had, and it's just nice to see. I think it's what you want as an organization, particularly when some of the younger guys are playing as well as they have.
So your question on Twitter, how did you frame it? Is this team as deep as it was last year? I think the ultimate answer to that question is going to come in the spring.
Yes.
But we can be really encouraged by what we are seeing. And a couple of things jumped to my mind when you were going through the different players. So Corey Perry's final goal, the last goal the Lightning scored, he wouldn't have gotten that goal a month ago, right?
Right.
Like, so he actually scored his first goal against the Flyers. It was the middle game. And in an 8-game span, he has put in 5 goals and has posted, what, 8 points, 5-3-8 in a 7-game span. or is it an eight-game span? Eight-game span. Because he had points at five, didn't point for two, and then had 3 points last night. But once he got the first one, you could see it really helped him confidence-wise. He started shooting the puck the way he normally does. But isn't it funny, like, you're earning your goals, and all of a sudden you get a lucky one, right? Like, it hits off him and goes in. So that's really good to see. And you know, maybe the goal that he scored off the end wall, that is so difficult to do. How many times do you see a wide shot of the net hit off the end wall and just boomerang back in front? Like, you blink and the puck is back in front. Perry was able to corral that. He's standing behind the net. It hits off the end wall, and he traps it down with a stick blade and tucks in a wraparound. Really difficult play. But equally impressive in my mind was his assist on the Maroon goal.
Yeah.
Where that was another good aggressive play by Hedman, because he steps up to hold in a puck that's coming up the boards. Then he makes a little touch pass to Perry. Perry does some nice stick handling to find some space, freezes the defenders, and gives Maroon a perfect pass in front of the net. So he is playing with a lot of confidence right now, but he has earned what he has gotten. But also, when things start going for you well, you start to see those goals where the puck hits you and goes in. And of course, he was standing in a place where it could hit him and go in, right at the side of the net. The other thought I had was, could you see Taylor Radish even attempting a play like he made on the shorthanded goal at the start of the year? Like, he hadn't scored up until that point, but his good play had helped him from a confidence standpoint, and he skated in shorthanded as a confident player. He shot the puck into the net last night like a confident player, and I think that speaks to this notion that you can play well and not get rewarded, but playing well can help you anyway in terms of how you feel about your game. And he didn't let it, nor did Tkachuk, let the close call misses derail them in any way. They just kind of kept their head down saying, we're doing the right things. It's going to come. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. Let's not change anything because we're not getting rewarded, even though we've come close. They were using the close calls as a positive sign, which is what you want, but human nature sometimes is like, man, I can't believe it's been how many games and I haven't gotten rewarded yet. When is it going to happen? They just kept doing what they were doing. Helped, I think, both players from a confidence standpoint so that Radish could make a move like he made on the shorthanded goal.
No doubt. And you mentioned, would he have even tried that earlier in the year? How about this, Dave? The fact that those guys continued to push play even before this weekend, but I think it led to Radish and Tkachuk finally scoring, is the fact that they still had the confidence to continue to make plays because they were playing well. You know, it's one thing for a young guy to be in the lineup, but you go 4 or 5 games without doing anything, without making an impact at all, I think your confidence can get shot, particularly if you're an offensive guy, like Radish and Tkachuk, at least in the minors, were. And I think the fact that they were able to do things outside of scoring up until this weekend allowed Taylor Radish to have the confidence to do what he did on Saturday and to have the shot on Sunday. And what I mean by that is I think he was upset, I'm sure, and it was weighing on him and Tkachuk that they had not scored up to that point. But I'm not sure their confidence was as broken as it could have been with another player who wasn't doing anything up to that point and didn't have any goals. And I think it's a credit to them because it's one of the things you and I have discussed that I wanted to see them start to accumulate points. But I was meeting you halfway in that, okay, this feels a little different than, and I'm going blast from the past here, mm-hmm, you know, a Joel Vermeen coming up for 10 games and not really noticing him. And maybe that's a poor example for Vermeen. I apologize. I'm sure he's over in Europe playing somewhere. But you get these guys who come up and they're just kind of skating up and down. Well, Radish and Tkachuk, whether it was big hits, Dave, whether it was a fight, or more importantly, pushing play and getting shots on net, I think, allowed them to still have the confidence to attempt what Radish did on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a credit to them, because that's a really hard thing to do as a young player in this league. Because I believe for a lot of these guys, again, particularly ones who have some offensive upside, you really don't feel like maybe you belong in the NHL until you get that first goal. Hey, look, you're playing however many games, and it's nice to get an assist.
Yeah.
Getting
Radish
that
said
goal,
that, too, didn't he? After the game, he's like,
I think he did.
Be lying if...
Yeah, you asked him that question, and it's natural. It's absolutely natural. You want to feel like feeling goals is a way for an offensive player to feel like they really contributed to the team. You know, it's different than a block shot. You know, people mm-hmm. see goals all the time, and I think those guys have done it before, and now they've done it again. So it's very encouraging. The number of decisions that John Cooper will have to make when everybody does come back will be something to watch, and certainly we're going to be talking about that, because that might be the next biggest topic this Lightning team will have to deal with. Who is going to be sitting? Maybe we got a little taste of that when we saw Joseph come back. It was Barry Boulet who sat, and I think that was the right call. Not a knock on Barry Boulet, because I think at times he's had some good looks as well. Fortier has done well in short amount of time, and I'm sure they want to continue to see what they have there. But at least right now, the way the roster is currently constructed, Dave, Boris Tkachuk and Taylor Radish are playing like they don't want to come out of the lineup. And while that's a tough call to make as a head coach, that's also the best part of being a coach, is that you're posed with this dilemma, so to speak. We'll take a break. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that, I think, which I find fascinating. Chernak is out, and this could be a week-to-week thing. We'll talk about that a bit. We have some questions starting to roll in as well. We'll get to that when we return. He is Dave Michigan. I am Greg Linnelli. And, Mish, we got a question for you from one of our fans in the stands. We'll get to that when we return. It is Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
Glad you're with us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. I'm Greg Linnelli, along with the radio voice of the Lightning, Dave Michigan. Steve Versnick's our producer. Hit us up on Twitter at Bolts Radio. I want to get to a question for Mish specifically here. Is this team just as deep this season as the previous two? Give us your thoughts on that. Dave, this question...
That was the question. I'm like, didn't you just ask that?
I did. Well, it's called a reset.
That's not the question for me. Okay.
No. From Bolt Hole. They say, I've noticed that Mish has been calling games solo a little more frequently as of late. What's it like calling games solo? Is the preparation any different? And what are some of the challenges calling games solo?
I don't know that the preparation is any different. It's a little bit of a different dance. You're dancing with a partner when I'm working games at home with Phil, or did so with Kaylee the last couple of years, as opposed to doing all the dancing myself, I suppose. I probably try and give a little bit more analysis. I definitely do after whistles, but I'm not able to look at all the different things that an analyst is looking at while the play is going on, because I'm on the puck. So I'm doing the best I can from that standpoint. So that's probably the biggest difference. I'm filling all of the time as opposed to splitting the time with an analyst who is able to see things that I don't see, and you know, a different perspective too. So I don't know that really changes the way that I can do a game. I can only do what I can do, and I'm only able to comment on what I'm seeing, and usually what I'm seeing is around the puck. But it doesn't change my preparation. My preparation is basically I look at all the information that is provided. I pluck out the stuff before the game that I find is interesting to me, because if it's not interesting to me, then I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Hits, giveaways, takeaways. Others. I mean, there are some things that the teams and the league produces. I'm like, all right, well, I understand they're producing this, but that isn't really relevant to what I think is important. But there are things that I do think are interesting or important, and I will mark those, and then if the opportunity comes up to talk about them during the broadcast, I will.
TV.
But sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, and TV is way more structured, and maybe because it has to be when it comes to pieces that they want to run or milestones that are being hit or stats that maybe we don't find relevant that maybe they do to fill the time because they want to show off a neat graph or, you know, they
right,
want to make
and
a
you
point.
Can. You can narrate. By narrate, yeah. I mean you don't have to stay in the puck. In fact, you really shouldn't stay in the puck as much when the picture is showing you where the puck is. So you're guiding it along. Your descriptive
exactly
part
it.
Is you're guiding what is happening, but you do have more time to talk about some of these other elements. But I tell you what, Greg, if I were doing television, I've done a little bit of TV, I'm not sure that it would change me thinking about, well, I don't really find this relevant or interesting, but because I'm doing TV, I'm gonna include it and talk about it. I would probably just talk. I would have more of an opportunity to talk about the things that I find relevant and interesting.
No doubt.
Like, all right, so here's an example. I have my sheet in front of me from before last night's game. Flyers outscored 27-15 in second. Now 30-15. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Team in the second period or weren't the worst. Now, I didn't mention that on the air. The 8 goals, that's one off his total in the regular season from last year, and that's one that I'm going to monitor. So, you know, whenever Cirelli gets to 9, I can say he's matched his total from last year. Like, that to me is interesting, which is why I wrote it down. I don't have in front of me the stuff that obviously I didn't write down because I just blew past it, but and then there's some things I just know off the top of my head, like Frost, Radish, and Kachuk played together in Sault Ste. Marie. I think I mentioned that on the air. I didn't need to write that down. I knew that. But
and, of course, the Lightning getting their 1,000th
yeah
franchise win. Which, again,
I knew
that's
that
one
too.
Of those.
I didn't
yeah,
need to write that one down.
And that's one of those stats. It's. I think it's nice to say. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's they've been successful. You get to a certain number. I think that's just a fun number to throw out. I don't know how much context you put into that. We can speak to, as I've said before, you know, something that would pique my interest, really, the Lightning's record and how many games they've won since John Cooper has been their head coach. I think it's been the golden age of Lightning hockey, and there's been some down times, there's been some tremendous times, but it's been pretty consistently above average, and I think it's a tribute to everybody, but it's fun to kind of look at numbers like that a bit. Al says 3 points. First, bottom six playing better than expected. Second, nice to see Hedman get a night off, 18-plus minutes. I think he's meaning the last night's game. And third point, Chernak's injury. Cooper a bit vague.
Well, he said day-to-day. I know you said week-to-week. Did you see somewhere that it was week-to-week? Maybe I thought the Lightning announced it was day-to-day.
Maybe I misspoke.
Yeah. Well, look, Hedman had a really efficient 18-29 because he had 3 assists and was plus 4. When you're up big like that, you can just roll the defense pairings and the forward lines to level out the minutes. But I thought Victor had a really noteworthy game.
Did you read
that? He was aggressively and not recklessly, but aggressively in a non-reckless way. Jumping up on the play and grabbing pucks and making things happen.
I think it had to have been Joe Smith's article in The Athletic. And I don't know the context of it. It might have just been recapping the game. It might have been 10 observations or 10 points that sometimes the Athletic writers do after a game. Mm-hmm. But he had mentioned in whatever piece I read that I guess he had spoke to somebody close to Hedman when, you know, he had the surgery in the offseason, and that they felt like, Dave, he wasn't going to be back to himself until December, that there was going to be a process here for him to kind of get back to feeling completely 100%. And maybe that's what we're starting to see a bit now. I mean, it's December 6th, and look, everybody responds to surgeries differently. You know, but for somebody who plays as much as he does and relies on those wheels, that the article or the observation suggested that it was going to take Hedman a couple of months to really get going and be himself from that surgery. And so, look, I mean, John Cooper said, you know, a couple of days ago that Hedman had been, you know, maybe down on himself a little bit for, you know, his play recently. He was in a little bit of a funk and then had a couple of goals, you know, the other day, which was great to see. And then, of course, we saw what he was able to do last night in Philly. So, you know, maybe it's not a surprise that Hedy is maybe starting to feel a little more comfortable. And maybe it's going to take him a few more games for his, you know, his knee to feel completely 100%, you know, going through the surgery and then finally the rehab with that.
Well, there's no question that, especially in the St. Louis home game, where he had the two goals in the third period, and last night's game, I mean, that's 6 points in two games where he has had his fingerprints all over what the Lightning are doing offensively. And, you know, he may be a player of the week. Well, I guess they announce it on Mondays, so we'll have to wait and see. But 7 points in the last three, and overall he's got, what, 8 points in the last four, and all four games took place this past week, so he's now leading all defensemen in scoring. He leapfrogged Adam Fox with his 3-point game last night. So that's really positive. He kept saying he wasn't angry about that penalty that he got called for in the St. Louis game. But what did John Cooper say? He was engaged. I think he has still been engaged.
I think you're absolutely 100% correct. Look, the Chernak, you know, injury, not much to add there. I mean,
no.
We know
but
how
look,
valuable
Kyle Foote
he
came
is.
Came in. Kyle Foote had a really good game yesterday. Yeah. Stood up for Elliott. I was surprised that Konechny didn't get a minor. I mean, it shouldn't have been more than that, but he did bump Elliott behind the net. I mean, usually that's automatic, and that's why Foote reacted on him.
You know, you could tell Foote, too, to his credit, maybe not to his credit, I don't know. He got a little cut. Was it his right eye? Looked like he got scratched up a bit. I mean, you could tell, like, he wanted to defend his goaltender, but he didn't go overboard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes guys, just the minute you touch their goaltender, they just lose their minds, Dave, and they just start whacking away. I mean, you could see that, you know, Foote engaged, maybe gave a little bit of a cross check, and then Cirelli really came in. I think mainly to protect Foote, because then Foote was bombarded by a couple of Flyer players and, you know, the scrum broke out. But, you know, that's the other thing with the Flyers, Dave. And I'm not saying you got to bring back what they used to do, which was, you know, a lot of extra stuff. I know they got rid of some of those guys who are no longer with the team. It just that the Flyers, they're not, I don't know, they're just not that team anymore. And I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm still trying to figure that part out, but you know, that team that was going to play over the line at times, that you knew when you played the Flyers it was going to be a physical contest and, you know, cheap, not cheap, you were going to have to deal with that. I don't get that sense the Flyers are that team anymore. And again, I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing, but it's noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in today's game they figured you got to move away from something like that. But it's... You watch the Flyers, and there is something missing there in a lot of ways.
Well, look, there is a way to be, I'll use that word again, engaged emotionally, physically, aggressively, without crossing the line. And, I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but the game in Winnipeg last night, Toronto and Winnipeg, that got really ugly. And that's where you do cross the line. And I've only seen the clips. I'm not professing to have my finger on the pulse of what was happening in the moment. But Neil Pionk had a knee-to-knee hit on Rasmus Sandin. Sandin got hurt. And then Jason Spezza ran at Pionk's diving down to try and sweep the puck out. He's in a vulnerable position, and Spezza knees him in the head.
Yeah.
That's the sort of stuff that, I don't know if that's what you were getting at when you were talking about the big bad Flyers, but I think that's too much.
Sure.
Now, look, emotions take over. If you're the Leafs, you're like, Sandin is hurt. It was not a good hit. Somebody's going to pay. It's going to be Pionk. But I don't know.
Well, you just think of some of the
guys
they
lost. You don't want to see that. I think we're going to have suspensions, and we should have suspensions for plays like that.
By the way, has the league stopped calling cross-checking?
Well, they've stopped calling it to the standard that we saw in the preseason, it didn't take very long, did it?
I'm wondering if that was something where they felt like, and I think it's flawed, Dave, if they felt like, let's call as many cross-checking penalties in the preseason, and let's just hope the guys just don't commit a ton of those so we don't have to call it.
Yeah.
Because they know that that stuff goes on. I mean, that's really, you've allowed that play to become such a normal play.
But what you don't want to have happen, Greg, is a Kucherov situation against the Islanders. It wasn't the only play, but that was the play that brought about, as much as any other, this tighter standard. Because, yeah, a jab to the ribs is something that you see a lot and in past years wasn't called, because that wasn't, I mean, the rule book said it should have been, but the officials had their own standard, kind of like the strike zone, right? So, and everyone kind of knew what it was, what was going to be a penalty and what wasn't. But then Scott Mayfield took it too far and made a play that injured Kucherov deep in the playoffs, and the league said, we can't have this. So I understand what you're saying, that all right, they've kind of gone back and like the players understand they can maybe get away with a little bit more, but there's a reason why they made the change in the first place. The reason was so that you don't have a star player suffer a broken rib because of a cross check where the guy is propelling his stick out. That's why the standard was changed for what was a penalty. Not because they wanted to call more penalties, but because they wanted to limit potential injuries like the one that Kucherov sustained in game 6 of the Eastern Conference Final. And I don't know if they just relent on the standard after a month or whatever, if they're going to get where they wanted to get. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if we have another injury like we had in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, to a star player, which you never want, because that's what people want to see during that time of the year. All right, partner, that's going to wrap it up for us today on the show. Great job recapping a couple of games. If our audience wants to continue to weigh in, please do, at Bolts Radio. We'll make sure we get those comments and questions on the air tomorrow in Montreal. Lightning take on the Canadiens, another team that's gone through a lot of changes this year and as a result have struggled. So an opportunity for the Lightning to get their game together a bit more and pick up 2 points against the division foe. We'll see how that plays out. But, partner, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks to Steve Ersnick for producing. Thanks to you for listening. We always appreciate it. I am Greg Linnelli. It's Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play.